Congregation, let us rise to worship our Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's my privilege to greet you all this morning, and especially the guests in our midst, and I do that in Christian manner. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Let us sing then together to his praise from hymn 59, the verses 1, 2, and 3. God's law is summarized for us in Exodus 20, in the Ten Commandments. The fact that we need a law is, of course, humbling to us and reminds us of the fact that we as a human race are fallen in sin and need guidance, moral guidance. But it also makes us thankful because we do receive that guidance from our Creator, God. And in the context also of his deliverance, just as he delivered Israel from their slavery in Egypt so long ago and brought them out to himself at Mount Sinai and gave them this law as their rule of thankfulness to him, so we receive this same law as our rule of thankfulness, having been delivered from our slavery to sin by the blood of Jesus Christ himself, who suffered for us on the cross. And let us hear the law in that respect, and answer to it by singing together from Psalm 19, verse 3. I have to admit that I only put that psalm on the board this morning because I'd accidentally given a liturgy for the afternoon service. So I'll just check 19, verse 3, where we'll be singing after the service. The law of God is whole and it revives the soul. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Come before our Lord in prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to know that our Creator in heaven watches over us as a father for his children. For we know, Lord, that we have not deserved that. For we're all here on earth tainted by our own sinfulness and lack of love. And if we're honest, when we reflect on the past week, we even see that despite all our best intentions, Lord, we have not been those people that we could have been. We have not shown you or our neighbors and those around us that love that we could have shown. And we ask your forgiveness this morning. We ask that you would work in our hearts to grant us true repentance for our sins, and that we would be renewed by your word and spirit, so that we might more and more grow up to reflect your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in our own lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would also work in us this morning as your word is opened again and that word is preached upon, that it would enter our hearts and minds, that we would not only understand what you have to say to us, but that it would take its root in our hearts. And so that we would from our hearts all the more be desirous of living for you. Bless the service of worship this morning. Bless also this day of rest, that we might be refreshed for the new week of service in your kingdom. We ask this all in the name of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who together with you and the Holy Spirit receives all honour and glory forevermore. Amen. Opportunity is given to you for the collection for the needy. Following upon the collection, we will sing from Psalm 113, the verses 1, 2, and 3. The sermon this morning will be based on Lord's Day 39, which is about the fifth commandment, honour your father and your mother. And so also you will see at the end of Psalm 113 that mothers are also praised, and motherhood, in other words, the receiving of children, is a gift from the Lord. Psalm 113 after the collection. with respect to our responsibilities, with respect to fathers and mothers and fathers and mothers, parents in other words, and also children's responsibility to them, we read a number of passages from God's law. First of all, Exodus 21, we see how the summary of the Ten Commandments, in this respect the Fifth Commandment, is worked out in detail for God's people, Israel. Exodus 21, the verses 15 and 17. Verse 15. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Verse 17. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Chapter 22. Verses 16 and 17. If a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely pay the bride price for her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money according to the bride price of virgins. Then Deuteronomy 21. Verses 18 through 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton," or better translated, squanderer, "and a drunkard." Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Then the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 15. We'll read the first 9 verses. A confrontation between the Pharisees and the Lord Jesus on the point of the Fifth Commandment. And the scribes and the Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and 'He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Let's respond by singing once again of the Lord's blessing of family from Psalm 128. We'll sing the whole psalm, verses 1, 2, and 3. Privilege to preach to you this morning on God's Word as summarized in Lord's Day 39 from the Heidelberg Catechism. What does God require in the fifth commandment? Honor your father and your mother. That I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all those in authority over me, submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and discipline, and also have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings. Since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. Following upon the preaching of God's word, we will sing together from Psalm 139. In the verses 8 and 9 concerning the fact that it's the Lord God that formed us in the womb and gave us life. And those two verses are a prayer, and therefore we will sing those standing. After the sermon, 139, 8 and 9, standing. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we come to the fifth commandment this morning. Honour your father and your mother. And that means that we're into the second section of the Ten Commandments. You may recall the first four have to do particularly with how we show love to God, our Creator, and the person that has reconciled us with himself through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are to respect and honour him as God and no others, first commandment. And we are to respect the fact that he desires to be worshipped and served in the manner that he has prescribed for us. No idols, in other words, second commandment. We are to respect his name, third commandment, and also honour his day, the Sabbath, fourth commandment. And now we come to that love that the Lord God requests of us and asks of us and can expect of us for those people around us. Love God, love your neighbour. And the most important neighbours in this world, brothers and sisters, are our parents. They take a very special position in our lives. And God, also in his law, gives them a very special position. And so I preach to you this morning, honour your father and your mother, and we will see firstly that this relationship with our parents is a thoroughly unique relationship. And secondly, we will see that it also has huge implications for all of life. Honour your father and mother, firstly, a thoroughly unique relationship, and secondly, a relationship with huge implications for all of life. Well, brothers and sisters, I think the people that are perhaps most keenly listening, hopefully, at the present time are children in the congregation. Honour your father and mother, that sounds like a commandment, specially addressed to children. We'll see later on, it's not. It's addressed to all of us, whether your parents are alive or not. But it is, and it does have, a special meaning for the children in our midst. And perhaps there are many a teenager sitting here this morning thinking to themselves, yeah, honour your father and your mother, but my mum and dad think they own me. Well, I've got news for you. In a real sense, they do. We've read from Exodus 21. What does God say there in his law? You strike your father or your mother, then in Israel, you had to be put to death. You curse your father or your mother, and God says, you should be put to death. In the context of God's laws, this law is a little strange. We studied in one of the post-confession classes these laws of God's covenant, and we saw there that normally speaking, in God's laws, you see the application of two principles: restitution if something's gone wrong, and the principle of a penalty applied. And that's the principle eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Not meant literally, but meant in the terms that the punishment must fit the crime. So if you stole something from somebody, you pay it back. Restitution. And you get a penalty, eye for eye. That amount that you stole is your punishment. You have to pay that in addition to the person that you stole from. Well, surely that would mean that if you hit somebody, that the punishment would have to fit the crime. It would have to be equivalent to the kind of pain or hurt or damage that you did to the other person when you hit them. And that is the principle that's normally applied. If you hit your neighbor, if you hit somebody else, then the judge will say to you, the person you hit has the right to hit you back in exactly the same way. And if you don't want that to happen, we will negotiate a fine equivalent to that damage. And that's, of course, what happened. That's not the case when you hit your father or your mother. And you see here that the Lord God already, with fathers and mothers, makes a grand exception. You hit your father or your mother, we'll forget all those judicial niceties and the principles that are applied in every other case in society. You hit your father or your mother, you die. There's something totally unique and extremely special about that relationship. It is sacred. It is set apart from all other relationships that you might have in this world, including marriage. The relationship between husband and wife. This relationship between parents and children is especially important. You know, God says too, you curse your father and your mother, you die. Normally in society, in God's law, if you curse your neighbor, it's a sin, but there's no punishment. You can badmouth somebody, but words don't get punished by the civil courts. They do in respect of father or mother. What that means in practice, we'll see in a few minutes. But let's ask ourselves, what makes then this relationship so unique, so special, that the Lord God desires to protect it in such a drastic way? It is drastic, isn't it? To say if you hit your father and your mother, there's a death penalty. You know what that means, of course. It means what the Lord God is saying in his law. Listen, this relationship is so important, so special. You have to protect it at all costs. Well, remember what God told Adam and Eve right at the beginning of this history of this world. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. It was a task. It was a task that God had given to our first parents, and a task that still applies to those who join in marriage today. Be fruitful and multiply. But we also know that it's the Lord God himself that gives the blessing of children. They are a gift of the Lord, entrusted to parents who are to bring them up in the fear of the Lord. In other words, learning to respect him, learning to love him as they grow up, because he desires to be our Heavenly Father, to look after us, to guide us in this life. When children who are given to their parents, entrusted to them by God, rebel against that, they are rebelling against God himself. And we know in so many of the Psalms that this gift of children, that this relationship between parents and children is so often praised. We're going to sing a few of them just this morning. But you know, brothers and sisters, that relationship between parents and children, and as children learning to grow up respecting your parents, is the basis for all of life. You learn from your parents how to get on with people in society, how to respect authority, If you don't learn to respect your parents, how on earth, when you leave home, are you ever going to respect anybody unless it happens to be somebody you personally like? You know what you end up with? You end up with a society of violence, a society where even government, police get no respect whatsoever. And you end up with a society where the prisons are full and overflowing. Because growing up and learning to respect your parents is part of the school that the Lord God gives us for being a valued member of society. Well, what does God really mean when he says, you strike your father or your mother, you curse them, you get a death penalty? Well, to make it quite clear, we've also read what the Lord says in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Because you ought not to get the idea that any kid that bad mouths his mum or dad because he's in a bad mood would in Israel have immediately been put to death. That's not the point of the law. Nor should you get the idea that a little 3-year-old that throws a tantrum and actually hits his mother in the face would have to be put to death. That is also not the point of the law. We read in Deuteronomy 21 what the point of the law really was. When parents have to deal with a child that is so stubborn and so rebellious, not only does he not listen to them anymore, but even when chastised, when punished, will not heed them. And the situation is in fact so bad that the whole city knows about this person who is generally and publicly recognized to be a squanderer and a drunkard. Somebody that's completely out of control. How do you know that from the text? Well, what has to happen? It says, when this person gets the death penalty, who are the people that are actually supposed to execute the death penalty, actually throw the first stones? It's not mum and dad. It's the elders and the men of the city. All the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. In God's law, the people that actually begin the stoning are supposed to be the witnesses to the crime. They're the ones that testify, this person deserved that punishment. So what's happened with this child that finally gets this ultimate punishment is that his rebelliousness has become so evident that the witnesses to the crime are no longer the mother and the father. They're the men of the whole city. You know what's most humbling and humiliating? It's the fact that this crime will not be punished despite the fact that the whole city is witness to it unless the mother and the father, having torn their hair out and having seen that this person has even become a danger to them, bring him to the elders of the gate. How humiliating is that? We have failed. We can't do anything with this son. I think if you watch the news enough, think of the kinds of violence that we sometimes can get in the big cities, even of Australia, where people are seen as teenagers to engage in such violence that they even get down to murder, uncontrollable because of drugs and alcohol. But it surely can happen that parents have a son that they can honestly no longer deal with. In our society, the person usually ends up getting kicked out of home. But then also it becomes a danger to society in general. You see, brothers and sisters, the Lord gives mums and dads a task. It is the onus on them to prepare their children for life and to teach them responsibility. Let's not get the idea from God's law that you're doing it right as a mum and dad if you're teaching your children, whatever we say goes, you obey, that's it. You don't obey, punishment. Because children have the responsibility to bring up those, parents have the responsibility to bring up those children entrusted to them by the Lord to be able to become responsible members of society. And that means not just teaching them to obey, it means teaching them to take responsibility onto their shoulders. It means teaching them to learn to live in the fear of the Lord, respecting and loving Him and being a valued member of society. Yes, it means learning respect. And that's difficult. It requires a whole lot of wisdom that often we do not have. And we need to ask that from the Lord, that wisdom. Because you might think you've got a formula for bringing up a kid when you've brought up your first child and you think, that's going well. Number two or number three might be so totally different, you need a completely different approach. Each child is different. Each child is a unique gift of God for parents to bring up. And that's why also the Apostle Paul, I think, of Ephesians 6, warns us when he says, children, obey your parents, for that's good. He says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. In other words, don't push them over the edge. Use wisdom. Understand them. Teach them responsibility. There's no place in God's law for abuse. We are forming God's children for life. Now, and there's something else that comes into it here, because, you know, kids often get the idea that their parents think that they're perfect. You obey me or else. Well, if that's what you say to your kids all the time, they will get the idea that you think you're perfection on earth. And young kids do think that, and they're often proud of mum and dad. Mum and dad can do no wrong. But mum and dad know, yes indeed, they can do wrong. And mum and dad too can get moody. And mum and dad too have to battle against sin. They have their weaknesses, as the Catechism appropriately says. And part of being responsible parents, brothers and sisters, is teaching that respect for the Lord. Teaching what it is to live in faith. And out of faith. And the living faith, you see, understands that we are sinners. And that we, every day anew, humbly need to ask God for forgiveness for those things that we did not do right. We were in a bad mood. And we said something we really ought not to have said. And parents sometimes get the idea that it's a show of weakness and bad form if you would admit that to your children. It is not. It is showing them what true faith in the Lord means. Humility. One of the most important lessons children need to learn from parents is how to look to Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. One of the most important things that children need to see and learn is that mum and dad too have to get on their knees at night and to pray for forgiveness. One of the best lessons you can give to your children too is if you have done wrong with them, said the wrong thing perhaps, given the wrong punishment, that you ask for forgiveness. And so teach them what real faith is all about. Now, for all the children, one of the other laws we read in Exodus was that from Exodus 22. You might have thought, what's that got to do with the fifth commandment? It was the law that if a young man goes to bed with a virgin girl, that they have a responsibility to be married. It's not my point this morning to talk all about that. It is my point to show how parents are also responsible for the morality of their children. In particular, of course, is it not a beautiful thing when a father can give away his daughter in marriage? He is responsible for his daughter, and responsible to be able to give his daughter away in marriage to a young man who will take care of her in this life pure, untainted. Sure, there's also a responsibility with children, that they act morally before the Lord, and the Lord will hold them accountable. But the Lord also holds parents accountable for their children. And that's one thing, to be honest, in our society, that is slipping away. Because parents in our society, do they not tend to think with respect to teenagers, well, that's up to them. And if they go away and do wrong things morally, well, that's their responsibility. Let them take the rap for it. Brothers and sisters, they're your responsibility too. And that's why, in Israel, when things went wrong, and temptation had got the better of two young people, they were responsible to confess their sin, not just to God, but to the parents of the girl. Because when that happens, the responsibility of the parents has been undermined. They have been sinned against. And there was a punishment for that as well. The Lord says, 50 shekels of silver need to be paid. Whether or not, young man, you get married to that girl, and it's up to the parents. You might not be suitable. Let's face it, sometimes these things happen and two people are just not suited for each other. That's the call for the parents to make. But he still needs to pay the so-called bride price. It's not talking about a dowry here. It's talking about a fine. Because you've sinned against the parents. And in Israel, you would have to pay 50 shekels when you confess that sin. You want to know how much that is? In those days, a day laborer would earn about 10 shekels a year. So I had a look this morning at the minimum wage in Australia. That's about $31,500. Multiply that by five, well, it's more than 150,000. Should tell you something about the seriousness that the Lord puts on purity and chastity. And that's the point here. The seriousness that parents also need to take in teaching their children morality. And that children too see that also in this, they're not just respecting the Lord God, but in the Lord God, they need to respect their parents and the responsibility that God has placed upon them as well. Now in the second place this morning, brothers and sisters, we need to see that this fifth commandment has huge implications for all of life. There are responsibilities that we have for our parents. All of us. Not just children. Children need to honour their parents in respect of obeying them as well as respecting their authority. But what happens then when you're grown up? You've gone and gotten married yourself. Mum and Dad become Opa and Oma to your children. What does this commandment mean to you then? Well, you know, that's why the Lord God summarises this commandment with the word honour. Not obey. Obey your parents is the commandment God gives to children. Honor your parents is the command that God gives to all of us, because Mum and Dad, doesn't matter how old we are, they need to be respected. And they need to be honoured. And sometimes that can also mean practically they need to be supported and helped. Now in ancient Israel, and even in the New Testament times, there was no social network whereby the government would pay you or that you'd got some kind of superannuation so that when you were old you were able to be cared for. That was the responsibility of your children. And that was one of the practical ways that children were expected to honour their parents, to see to it that their parents are cared for when dad can no longer work and support himself. And then you remember, well, dad worked and supported me all those years that I was growing up. And they were expected to honour them. And you saw the way that the Lord Jesus criticised the Pharisees for trying to wheedle out of that. What did they do? Any extra money I've got that might be used for supporting my parents, I declare that a gift to God. In other words, I don't have to use it for mum and dad. It sounds pious, but the Lord says it's downright sinful. You need to honour your parents and support them where necessary. Morally, but if it's necessary, even in terms of seeing that they are cared for in their old age. Well, what about when mum and dad have passed away and have been taken to the Lord? Surely the commandment doesn't apply then. Yes, it does. Do we not still honour our parents, even when they have gone to be with the Lord, by speaking of them in a respectful way? And sure, we all know, especially if we're adults, mum and dad had their weaknesses, did they not? We all know that they might have done some things wrong. And in a few cases, some things might have gone drastically wrong. And when things have gone drastically wrong, it sometimes is necessary to speak about those things with people that can help you, with counsellors. But we don't throw the dirty laundry of our own parents out into the open unnecessarily. We honour and we respect them, also when they have passed on. They were our parents. They gave us life. God entrusted us to them. They brought us up. And the Lord asks us to respect that. When we do, when we learn to respect, honour and to obey our parents, brothers and sisters, we are taught what it means as children to respect our teachers at school. Everybody to learn what it is to respect the elders in church. If you don't respect mum and dad at home, how are you ever going to respect church authority, let alone police, government? You know, it's sometimes easy to respect elders or policemen if they have what we call moral authority. In other words, they come across well, they make sense, and they have a kind of an awe about them that says, you better respect me. Sure, then we do it. But what about when they don't? What about when they make mistakes? What about when a teacher just doesn't seem to be able to teach at school? He's got no moral authority. That's what we say, but he still has that formal authority. And you know as well as I do at school how easy it is to pester certain teachers, to get around them, to wrap yourselves around their finger or whatever the appropriate English metaphor is. That's when it comes to the crunch. That's when we need to discipline ourselves to continue to respect them, despite the fact that they might be lacking in a few things needed in order to do their task. And that counts just as much for government and police, any authority that the Lord gives us in this world. It starts with the parents, but the principles are applied throughout this life, that I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and to all those in authority over me, that I have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings. For it is God's will that we are ruled by them. And that's too, brothers and sisters, why we need to remember not to badmouth those in authority over us. Later on in Exodus 22, the Lord speaks about that. He says, don't curse. It says in our translation, God, it really means gods or judges or a ruler of your people. Exodus 28:2, verse 28. There's no punishment for that. But God says, listen, don't do it. I don't want you to do it because those in authority over you represent me. Show love for me and for those in this life that are in authority over you. Each commandment begins with the heart, with what we think, with how we act inside of ourselves. Sure, only God really sees what's in our hearts. But that's what counts, isn't it? He's our Heavenly Father. He is the one that sacrificed His own Son to die on the cross to make us His own. To give us that sure promise of eternal life to be with Him, who blesses us, who guides our lives on this earth, makes it possible for us to live in joy, irrespective of whatever our circumstances might be. The joy of faith, the joy of knowing He's our God, the joy of knowing that we're not abandoned in this life to this cruel world, but that He has a plan for our lives. And that His Son, Lord Jesus Christ, will return again and take us all to be with Him. So let's, brothers and sisters, continue to praise His name, also in how we respect authority, our parents, and each other. Amen. We'll sing standing in Psalm 139, the verses 8 and 9. Announcements on behalf of the consistory. consistory will meet with the deacons, De Valente, on Monday at 7:30 p.m. And the Lord willing, we will celebrate the Holy Supper next Sunday morning, lest anyone eat and drink condemnation upon themselves by eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. You are called to examine yourselves. As we confess on Lord's Day 30, only those may come to the table who are truly displeased with themselves because of their sins, and yet trust that these are forgiven them, and that their remaining weakness is covered by the suffering and death of Christ, who desire more and more to strengthen their faith and amend their life. But hypocrites and those who do not repent eat and drink judgment upon themselves. Following the election, the consistory appoints Brother R.A. Bile to the office of elder. If no lawful objection is brought forward, ordination will take place, De Valente, Sunday the 16th of June in the afternoon service. Attestation has been requested by Brother and Sister M. Postmus with their four baptized children to the Free Reformed Church of Armidale as they are moving to Cairns. Home visits this week will be brought to the family of B. Versteeg Wednesday at 7:30 and the family of L. Hart on Thursday at 7:30. So far the announcements. Let us come before our Lord with a prayer of thanksgiving. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. Thanks that you have given us life. And that you, for many of us, even so long ago, entrusted us to our own parents to be brought up. And Lord, we give you thanks that even most of us were able to be brought up in a Christian loving family, learning to respect your holy name, to see your love for us in Jesus Christ, and to grow up knowing that we were your children. Yes, we thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that you would enable us to reflect that love and that thanks. Also, in the way we show respect to those placed in authority over us. Lord, we pray for the children in our congregation, that they also would be able to grow up knowing what it is to be children of your covenant love. That they would grow up learning to obey and respect their parents. And we pray, Lord, for the mums and dads in our congregation. We pray that you would give them the wisdom that they need to bring up their children in true faith. We ask, Lord, that you would grant each and every one of the parents in our midst the ability, the wisdom, but also the humility to live before their children in true faith, that our children might learn what it is to know that we need every day to ask the necessary strength from your hand, and that we need to come before you to repent of our sinfulness and to receive that treasured forgiveness through the blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you would forgive our sins and faults also in terms of parenting. We ask, Lord, that you would make us stronger. We pray, Lord, for the blessing of marriages. We pray, Lord, that you would be with all the husbands and wives in our midst, that you would not allow the Satan to come between them. And Lord, when difficult things have happened in this life, and when sin has reared its ugly head, we pray that you would give us the strength and the wisdom to continue serving you in thankfulness and to ask your wisdom for how to deal with even difficult situations, that surely there also we would see the challenge of showing what it means to be loving children of you and to get through difficult times in your care and in your guidance, expecting everything only from your word and spirit. We pray, Lord, also for those who have not been blessed with children. We ask, Lord, that you would be with them. If it be your will, that might be granted. Otherwise, Lord, that you would show them also the way that you would have them work and take up their tasks in your kingdom to your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a congregation whereby we can walk together as brothers and sisters through this life, supporting each other, being joyful with each other, but also bearing each other's burdens and sorrows. We ask, be with us also this day. We ask that in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our final psalm this morning you will find in Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain who build it. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.